Welcome to Shaping E-Commerce with Iron Plane. This is where we talk about e-commerce development, solutions, digital marketing, and all things e-commerce. Be sure to check out the description below each video to find additional resource links and show notes. We upload new videos each day. Please like and subscribe to our channel.
In this episode of our e-commerce tech series, our team discusses user experience and conversion rate optimization. They offer key insights into the critical components of the UX process for e-commerce development.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. I'm Tim Bucciarelli, and I'm the manager of digital operations at Iron Plane. So this is part of our series of videos that we're doing that we're calling Shaping E-Commerce. And today's topic is going to be user experience and conversion rate optimization. So our goal here is to talk about areas of interest for our clients, but also for people who are involved in the e-commerce world. And I think that user experience and conversion rate optimization both are critical components of anyone trying to do their best work in e-commerce. So before we get started, I just wanted to do a quick round of introductions. So Clara, if you can just give us an idea of who you are and what your background is.
Hi, I'm Clara. So I'm the head of the UX and design team over at Snowdog. And I'm basically responsible for, you know, managing all our projects, our clients, and our work. And of course, leading our design team so that we can deliver some nice solutions to our clients.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
And just one note is that for anyone who may not know the relationship between Iron Plane and Snowdog. So Iron Plane is based around the world, but we focus our business in the US and we exclusively work with Snowdog, who's our development partner. We call each other sister companies sometimes, but we've been working together for many years on the Magento platform and more recently a little bit on the BigCommerce platform. So just wanted to put that relationship out there. So Danuta, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, my name is Danuta and I have been working at Snowdog for 2.5 years as a user experience designer. I have industrial design background, but I think the process of designing physical objects is almost the same like designing digital products. And this process is what interests me at most in the UX process.
Perfect. Thank you. And Jared.
Hey, I'm Jared Shields. I'm a solution specialist at Iron Plane, and I'm basically the main interface between clients and our developers, just gathering their goals and helping them figure out the best solution to meet those goals.
Perfect. Great. Thank you for the intros. And before we get started into the meat of the topic today, I think it's worth just getting some definitions out of the way. So when we talk about user experience, maybe Clara or Danuta, you could give us a kind of synopsis of what we mean when we talk about user experience.
Yeah, so purely user experience is just a really broad term and basically covers any interaction that someone has with a product or service. So that service or product could be a digital website, it could be an app, or it could be a physical object, it could be a computer, it could be a storefront, it could be a building. So the term itself is really any way that a person interacts or experiences your product. And I would say it's most often confused possibly with user interface, which describes more the purely the visual aspect of a product or service or what it looks like. And obviously, there's a lot you can do with that, and a lot of that is influenced by the user experience and user experience decisions. But there are a lot of things that are under the surface that can affect a user's experience and then therefore affect how they perceive your brand. And so user experiences are just a lot deeper, I think, and a lot more broad and can cover any number of factors. Maybe Danuta, you want to add to my
Yeah, maybe I will refer to physical objects. I think really interesting is in book Don Norman, he pointed doors, like you can see on this picture, like doors, something really easy to use. And here we need some descriptions like pull or push, and the door affordance should be really easy to understand. Like user shouldn't be thinking what he needs to do. It should be like understand it when he go. Like he knows, okay, this type of door I need to push. This type of door I need to pull. So for me, this is user experience, like something that you don't need to explain.
Yeah, that's a great example to really break it down. And it's fun because it seems so simple on the surface, a door, right? Okay. But like, I can imagine like the mechanism that you actually physically adjust. Is it like Star Trek where it just opens and it's a motion sensor? Or is it like, you know, a push down, or is it a push button? Does the door squeak when you open it? Is it well cared for? Like, it, you can just really dig into all the minutia of the experience of that door. And it becomes a lot more interesting to me anyway, to think through how could you kind of optimize that experience for the person who's using it. So anyway, thank you for the definition. And the other definition that we should talk about is conversion rate. Conversion rate optimization is a goal of many e-commerce businesses. User experience influences conversion rate, obviously, to a great extent. And just talk a little bit about how we would define conversion rate. Jared, why don't you give us a synopsis of that from your point of view?
Sure. So conversion rate, you know, is just the number of conversions you have divided by, you know, the number of people who came to the site, I suppose. You know, a conversion can take many different forms. For most e-commerce businesses, the conversion is a purchase on the site. But it can be, you know, capturing an email address through a newsletter subscribe form, or it can be getting a certain trade-in form completed. You know, the conversion can be whatever metric, you know, you're tracking to improve your business. So the conversion rate is just, yeah, taking that metric and seeing out of all of the people that come to my site, how many of them are completing this goal that I need them to complete.
Okay, great. So that's a great introduction to the topic today. We've got our definitions out of the way. And what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about our own process. When we have a client who says, you know, I need help with user experience and conversion rate optimization. What's the process that we go through with that client to help them improve those areas of their e-commerce experience?
So I would say the question often goes to a project manager or a client account manager first. And really, I would say at that point, it's already their job to start asking the client, why? Why do you want to bother with user experience? Just because you've heard of it as a term, it doesn't necessarily mean you as a company have thought deliberately about, okay, this is an approach I want to take with my business. I want to start prioritizing the user experience. I want to prioritize what my customers' frustrations are. So I think it's really important to make sure the client understands that's the purpose of user experience research, because unless user experience research often doesn't yield the results they want if you don't have a very clear purpose at the beginning of why you want to embark on this journey. Why would you, is there some problem you've noticed? Did you have a really bad customer service call? Are you looking at your website and you feel, you know, this is really clunky and I don't like it and it's frustrating to use? Those are all perfectly great reasons to start, but it's just important to start to really start from a place of purpose rather than just, oh, you know, I want to optimize the UX, but it's really difficult to do that if you don't have a problem in mind. Maybe Danuta, you want to follow that, follow up on that.
I would like to ask you some question. What do you understand as conversion rate optimization? Is conversion only a sale or something more?
Is that a question to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Or is that a question to the prospective client? Is that something that you ask the client?
So also often, can be. Yeah, definitely. Often the conversion, often we look at the most common conversion rate, right, would be number of sales divided by number of visitors. And obviously that does give you the most information from a business perspective about revenue, about how well your business is doing. But in other ways, it's not always going to capture really how well your business is doing. Just because you have a high conversion rate really doesn't mean your business is doing better. You know, if you have a really high conversion rate one day, but you had, if you had a low conversion rate, but you had way more users, you might have a better business day than on a day where you had a high conversion rate, but much fewer users. So the number itself can't even tell you the whole story.
That's the trick with percentages. Because if exactly. you have two visits to your website and they both result in sales, that's 100% conversion rate. Woohoo! But like when you're trying to make, you know, 500 sales a day, that's not particularly good.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of times users aren't visiting your website just to make it just to make a purchase. Maybe they have an account they want to update in their information. They want to just browse. They want to subscribe to your newsletter. They want to read some content. They want to or they just landed for the first time and they're most likely not going to make a purchase, but you can still start building towards that purchase. You know, a lot of purchases aren't made on the first visit. And so again, that's why we recommend looking beyond just one conversion point, like the sale. So just to answer Danuta's question properly, conversion points can be many different things. And so just the making a sale is a conversion point, but it's not always the most revealing one. And so that's why, like I said before, we like to talk to our clients and really understand what problem they think they're having or what problem they think the customers are having. And you can turn that into a conversion point.
And Jared, in your experience, do you, because I as a former e-commerce manager, I wonder, do you see clients prioritizing user experience as they come to us?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, that was going to be kind of my point towards your original question is it's kind of interesting in that most clients don't come to us for user experience. They don't come with the request of, you know, do you have a UX person or UI person on your team? You know, usually it comes in the form of, hey, we have this problem. What do you recommend for solving it? And if it's not, you know, just a simple technical solution and there's more of a flow, you know, to it, then that's the project manager, solution specialists, you know, time to bring in the UX team. But even then, you know, you face some skepticism around it because a lot of clients have their own designer and they say, okay, well, I have this designer. You know, there's some thought going into the designs that they give us. So I don't need user experience. But, you know, often those designers are just very good at making things look good, which is great. But yeah, like you said, you know, you might have a door in front of you, but you need a little bit of extra guidance to know how to use it. So,
yeah, I think I want to tease out two items that come to my mind. One is a lot of people like to focus on kind of KPIs and kind of return on investment and what am I going to get out of this? And I wonder if one of the problems is that user experience seems kind of amorphous, like they don't really know what they're going to expect, how they can measure, like attribute, you know, this action to this particular user experience design. And the other piece that I think is worth discussing just briefly is, again, you already talked about user interface. and Jared uses the word design. And so again, I think that user experience somehow gets lumped in as kind of this, oh, we've got this creative director, or we've got this designer, so user experience is covered. So I think it's worth really kind of talking about those two elements, maybe, like, how could we measure? Is that really the point? And how is it substantially different than this concept of design?
Well, and maybe we can even go through a practical example. So, you know, Clara, Danuta, and I are all working on, you know, a UX phase right now for a client. And, you know, we've gotten through some very early portions of it. And so we're only just now getting to the design phase. So, you know, up until this point, we've worked on a wireframe and prototypes to get the flow down, you know, the ultimate goal of everything. So design doesn't even come in until we have that first foundational, you know, portion done.
Good UX is really really invisible, because people can easily spot some really bad UX design, like process, like some errors in process checkout process or something like that. But when user experience is really good, it should be invisible. So that's why some people don't think user experience is important, because they don't see this as a separate element, like something that we should do before before design. Something like, we need to do a lot of research, creating a lot of flows to make it really intuitive and really easy to use. And then we can think about design and add some colors. And of course, design is making bigger impressions. For example, someone enter the site and see really beautiful illustrations or color, and it's this effect, wow. But for us, it's more important to have everything in logical order and intuitive.
So I think, yeah, just to follow up on Danuta's comment, it's like the design obviously makes a huge impression. It's, you know, it's pretty much our main sense that's getting stimulated when we see a website. So obviously design and the visual look and the interface is going to play a huge role in the conversion rate. But like Danuta said, good UX should be invisible. So it's really a lot of thought and work and consideration that goes in, like Jared said, before we even start designing, that really lays that proper foundation for the website. So I think, yes, you could ignore it and you could keep going, but I feel like for me, that just means you're increasing your risk level. I'm not saying your website will be a disaster. And sometimes paying attention to UX doesn't mean your website will be a huge success if it has a poor interface and poor branding and poor styling. But committing time and consideration to thinking about the user and, like they said, the user flow and the frustrations can really lay a nice foundation. And I would say the reason why clients often focus on UI more often is that it's really easy to pinpoint a UI issue, you know? This button is the wrong shape or color or size. This font is, you know, the margins are not good here. The padding is too small. So they often come, these surface level issues often seem way bigger, but it kind of covers the deeper UX problems. And they require, I think, just a bit more thought and consideration and planning and thinking. And so and that, you know, then leads on to needing to do more research and thinking about the customer and getting more data. And obviously that's a big investment and a time commitment.
And any thoughts on the measurability or the attribution, or, you know, how important is that? And how do people measure, like, the return that they could be getting from their investment if it needs to be a relatively substantial investment in their UX?
It's very measurable, I would say. Obviously, in projects, the ideal situation is that you keep measuring throughout the whole process, at the beginning, during, in the middle, and at the end. But like you said, it's sometimes difficult. How can you attribute that metric to that particular design change? That's why you do have to plan ahead and think about what you are going to measure and for that specific change. Obviously, if you're changing many things at the same time many interactions or flows are going to be adjusted, it is difficult, but you have to go back to the high level, I guess, metrics like the Net Promoter Score, or even something more basic, even more basic conversion points like that. But I would say it's difficult. It's definitely possible to measure it, but depending on the scale of changes you're implementing, it can affect the quality of the data. Danuta,
Yes. So I think first we need to define what exactly we want to optimize and measure. And then after that, we should move to analysis stage. And methods we can use on to do this, it's, for example, web analytics, like we are using Google Analytics, click maps like Hotjar, or for mobile UXCAM, usability testing, and of course audits. So in our process, we usually start with data analysis and expert audit. But of course, user testing can provide very good insights. And for us, it's also really important to talk with our client and his employees and get some feedback from end customer, for example, from customer service or someone who knows really well clients and clients. So after analyzing this data and gathering feedback, we can make some hypotheses and think how we can verify them. So, for example, we have a project that we think that changing a multiple step checkout to one step checkout will increase conversion by, let's say, 10%. And to verify this, we can run A/B testing, for example. So it means that we will take half of the users and give them version A, and another half of the users will see version B. And after calculating the research sample, we'll know how long we should wait for the results. And after that, we will know which version converts better, A or B, and we can implement this version. Another option to analyze is running usability testing with users. But this one is more tricky and I think for us more expensive.
Another possible way of assessing the success of a particular change.
Well, often it's like you said, UX often involves many different changes. You know, you might be overhauling the complete navigation structure. But in that situation, some kind of testing like this can be really good because you can set up, for example, a scenario or test or a task. Let's say you have to navigate to this particular product and check out. And, you know, before you start the experiment, you can run a benchmark and see how long it takes people or what the success rate is of finishing some task within some boundaries or criteria. And after updating your website and changing it, I think it's very clear if you run the test again and you see that the success rate has changed or it takes people less time to check out or people are making less mistakes or errors, that is a successful change. And it means that, you know, by changing your approach, you have made the experience smoother, maybe, or you've reduced errors, and that is a positive change for the user experience.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So that we've addressed those two questions that I had. So that's very helpful. And we've already done a pretty thorough introduction here, and I know that we've touched on some of the areas that we're going to dive into now. But what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about kind of step by step and how we approach our process for engaging with a client in user experience, research, and implementation of whatever changes we'd like to make. So that will be in our next session where we talk about each step of our own process. So thank you for the introduction, and we'll talk soon.
For more insights on how to improve your e-commerce website and for a free consultation, visit ironplane.com. Follow us on social media and like and subscribe below.